And I want to talk to you, teach you something about the negative power of rejection. We were singing about how much God loves us, and I know that's in your mind and your hearts, but we still must have a deeper, more profound understanding of his acceptance. We can go back to the garden, and we can see the first indication of the effect of rejection on mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned, the result of that sin was that God banished them from the garden. It says in Genesis that he drove them out. That's a pretty profound statement. He drove them out and put cherubim, flaming cherubim with swords at the entrance to prevent them from coming back in. The beautiful thing about the garden is that was where during the cool of the day Adam and Eve would meet with God, most likely every day, and have conversations. Because we know this, that God brought the animals to Adam to name them. So there was this communion that they had, this acceptance, this fellowship, this deep intercourse that was very intimate, that was destroyed by sin. And although God did redeem them by putting the skins of animals on them and covering their nakedness, they still could not get back into that place. Now here's what I want you to understand. The human race came out of the loins of Adam. Every one of us can trace our history all the way back to Adam. Because all of mankind came through Adam. And there is something that can be felt through the passing of the parents to the children that carries with us. I'm not talking about curses now. People are just absolutely obsessed with curses. I'm obsessed with the curse breaker. Don't get me going on. But I want you to understand something about the human genetics that takes place. When I was a younger man, I don't know how to say that. Huh? Sounded good? Sounded good. Okay. And in the ministry, I went through a season. This is probably about, let me say, 100 years ago? Andre says it was 100 years ago. I think she's right. Early in the ministry, I was still working, supporting us while we were bringing the church along. I was in my office on a Friday afternoon, and I was really despondent, feeling extremely rejected. I'm just sharing some personal experience with you. And reflecting on my life, and it seemed no matter what I did, no matter how many accomplishments I had, I never felt as though I was achieving acceptance. It was like a drug. I needed more accomplishments to give me a little sense of being accepted. I lived that way. My childhood history was that way. I was very competitive in sports, and I used the success in sports to make me feel good. I ran for offices, won the offices. But when you lose, you feel twice as bad because you're so dependent upon the approval of people. And the unfortunate truth about rejection is that it drives you to do things to get people to accept you. In the ministry, it can be extremely damaging. Meaning this, in the ministry, if we are not whole people, healthy in our souls, then we will use the pulpit as a place of competition. We'll use our churches to compete with other churches. We'll look to grow and get a lot of numbers because it makes us feel as though we're okay. Numbers mean nothing in God's eyes. They mean a whole lot in men's eyes. When this church was 1,200 people, I thought we were okay. But you have no idea how much you draw on your acceptance and need for approval by saying you belong to a church that's such and such a size. There's a competitiveness that works its way in to all of mankind. When we need acceptance and approval, it can cause us to want to come up with something new and different and unusual and unique that nobody else is doing in order to get approval. Stay with me here. The trouble with that is that it perverts the gospel. And there are teachings today that are off course. Why? Because everybody's seeking to gain a leg up on somebody else. To come out with the best new idea about our faith. You cannot improve upon the simplicity of Christ. Paul said to the Galatian church, who has bewitched you? Bewitched you that you have moved away from the simplicity which is in Christ. Having started in faith, did you receive, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works or by God's grace? And so what happens is that we find, see, this problem exists all the way back to the early church. We find today people are trying to develop methods, programs, ideas, concepts, ministries to promote what? A little bit of Jesus and a lot of themselves. And a lot of us, all of us. And this is where the great sin rests, because we're not whole. Now, please don't take this as a condemnation. I included myself in that general category of needing the approval. And I wonder now what I have done. Thank God he doesn't point out all of my errors to gain the approval of people. It's a very dangerous thing. Any gift that we have can be perverted for the wrong use. The interesting thing about God is that if he's in the gift and we misuse it, meaning we want to draw attention to ourselves, yet it blesses other people, he's happy that it blesses others. But we are the people that need healing. So I go back to this day at the office, and the Holy Spirit said to me, call your mother. So I got on the phone just immediately and called my mom. And this was a conversation stimulated by the Holy Ghost. And I don't know why I asked this question, but I said to her, Mom, did you want me when I was born? I have no idea. I did not prepare to say that. It just popped out. And my mom began to cry at the other end. And she broke down and she sobbed. And then she said to me, I have a confession to make. She said, we were going to abort you. Dad and I were not married. And we had already had a mishap. I had already had a previous abortion. And we were afraid that his parents would not let us get married. They were very strict Italian Catholics. And my grandfather and grandmother were patriarchs of the family, and they had some say in what the boys and their daughter did. And they were quite afraid about the lack of approval. And so my mom and dad contemplated aborting me. But at some point, and I believe this is because of the Holy Spirit that had destined me like he's destined you, to come into this earth, and I cannot speak, and I do not know why some people do not get to come into this earth that may have plans that God had for them. I don't understand all that, but you know what happens. Anyway, she said at this last moment, we decided to keep you. And I said, well, how about when I was born? How did you feel towards me? Well, she said, Dad and I got married quick, and then we had you, and of course everybody knew that I was pregnant, and there you came early, and for a season, I didn't want you, but I wanted you. That was a tug that the mother had. She was glad and sad at the same time, and so, in her words, she rejected my presence. It was troublesome. But later on, she said, she had a repentance and changed her heart towards me. However, something happened as a little boy, perhaps even in the womb, I don't know, where I felt that rejection. And it drove me throughout my life until the day that my mom confessed what had happened with her and Dad and me. And so we had a great time. She asked for forgiveness. I prayed with her and to her how much I loved her and all. And I stepped up in my sense of well-being at that moment. And I felt a lot better about myself all of a sudden. However, I must be honest with you. The desire and the need for approval from men did not go away. Not completely. While it was improved, it didn't disappear. So, over the years, these are one of those places where we personally have this outworking of our salvation with God, and he's tender with us, and he teaches us over time, he began to speak to me from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that says, you are accepted in the Beloved. And I had to meditate on that for a couple of decades. Didn't come easy. I'm not sure I thoroughly understood that. I knew that I had received Jesus as Lord and Savior. We talk about that in our salvation message, that we have got to receive him. And I felt that I had received him, but the one thing that I didn't have was this tremendous peace of being accepted by God. It's one thing to be accepted by men and women. It's another thing to be accepted by God. They're not the same. The acceptance of men and women is necessary, healthy, and above all in the church, vital. But it begins with being accepted by God first. Because if we're not whole, the tendency to see each other in shaded glasses as to whether or not you approve of me or I approve of you still exists. I'm going to come closer to the truth of this in just a minute. I'd like you to read Romans chapter 15. I have one the scripture that I'd like you to focus in on. It says this, beginning in verse 5, chapter 15 of Romans. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 is where I want you to put your finger in your heart. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So there's the pattern of how we are to relate to one another. That we are to receive. That word in the Greek is lambano. It's the equivalent of opening your arms, embracing somebody, and pulling them in. Receive. Open your arms, embrace, pull in. To receive. To receive a gift, take your hand out, grab the gift, pull it in. Lambano. We receive that way. And this is, here's the truth, Jesus Christ, when we received him, or before we received him, he received us. He grabbed us physically, spiritually, and pulled us in as we pulled him in. So that what we ended up with was a divine embrace. It's not one-sided, it's both. Receiving Jesus. But he, can you imagine this, receives us. He lambanos us, puts his arms out, puts them around us, and pulls us in to him. Well, where is this going, we might ask? Why is this valuable? What's the outcome? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 40, just a couple of verses here. Verse 40 says this, this is Jesus. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Whoa. Let's look at that again. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. That's pretty deep. So, if I come up to my precious wife, Andrea, you don't have to get up, honey, and grab her and pull her into myself and receive her, Jesus is here in her. And I receive her and Jesus and everything Jesus has and the Father who sent her here. So it's deep and profound, this whole understanding of how we receive one another. And then in verse 41, look what happens. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So as we begin to learn to receive each other more and more, we extract, pull on the anointing of that person. I was sharing this recently in our prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago about pulling on the anointing, pulling on one another. We are to pull on each other. When we receive each other, you must receive everything that is in that person, because what's in that person is a blessing to you and to me. You see, I'm going to look here at people who generally don't step out and look like they're much of anything as far as being prominent in ministry. Yet, I want to say that Janet Brown, for example, was sent of God into this world by the Holy Spirit. And when I receive her, I receive the one who sent her and the one who sent Jesus. And there's something in her, because Christ is in her, that when I receive her and pull on her, I will release her to let the anointing in her life flow into my life. Because there's stuff in her that's been locked. She doesn't even know it. You know why? Because she's so used to not thinking of herself as anybody. When God said in 1 Corinthians that every one of us has been filled with the Holy Spirit and every one of us has gifts. And sometimes, because we're afraid of being rejected, we don't exercise. We wonder, we have preconceived ideas about who will receive us, whether we'll be loved, will we do it right, and if not, will we be rejected? And all that garbage is rolling around in our minds, preventing us from opening our arms, lambano, and receiving one another to the fullest degree we should be received. Are you with me here? Do you see how vital this is? There are rewards that are in your lives that are for somebody else if we will open ourselves up to each other. When we do that, we give a great big amen to that person's life. If I come to Betty here and say, Betty, what have you got today for us? First thing is, she begins to realize God has gifted her with things. And there could be thoughts and ideas and stuff in her right now, that when I embrace her and receive her, whatever gifting is in her can come out. I can pull on it. Do you know how much more willing we are to exercise what God has given us when we are received, loved, embraced, and we send a message that says, I know you are a child of God. God loves you. He's got stuff in you, and that stuff is good for me, and I receive you and everything that's in you. There's healing there, friends. Tons of healing. Tons and tons and tons of healing. Healing that goes deep down into the soul of our lives and gets all the garbage of decades of woundedness out of us. Because we're all carrying it. I don't care who you are. Some of us are driven to act out our faith and try to get acceptance through ministry. And you know, that's a terrible place to be. Others of us just simply shut down because it's better not to get more rejection than it is to step out and get some. And so we don't move out. We're unlocking individuals and unlocking the church this way, when we begin to do this. Now, I want to give you a couple of scriptures to look at. In order for us to act out this truth, we have to have a change in our minds in order to begin to receive each other. We are very, and I want to use this word in the right way, the right context, full of discrimination, preconceived ideas about each other. We look at somebody, and all of a sudden, the bank of thoughts that we have stored up about that person gets released, and we assess whether or not that individual has any value for our lives. Is that true or not? You can look at me and think, well, he's got stuff for me. You could look at somebody else and think, I don't know that they got anything. I'm not so sure about them. And when we do that, what do? We put a do not enter sign in front of our lives. We don't let that person in. They don't come into our space. We don't get into their space. And that's wrong. And we can stop it. We have to stop it. The scriptures tell us to. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:10. I'm going to read some scriptures to back all this up. Paul says to the, this is regarding some schism in the church, regarding the sin that had gone in the church. It was going on and there was division. And so he says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The word same mind is what I want you to focus in on. Do you know that we can have the same mind about each other? The same mind about something. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. 2 Corinthians 13:11. I'm sorry, I skipped over that scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Paul, finishing up his benediction, he says, finally, my brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So, coming to a place of agreement. There's a phrase that is used in society and it's used in the church too, which is this. Let us agree to disagree. I disagree with that statement. I believe you can agree to agree. I believe you can come to a place where we are of the same mind about things. I may not understand what you like or want or totally find the complete reasoning as to why you've come to that decision, but I'm going to be agreeable with you. Unless it's, of course, sin or heresy or something of that nature. The point being, we are very easy to make divisions and find ways to be disagreeable and not of the same mind when we need to be of the same mind. Being of the same mind and receiving each other is vital. This word, same mind, it's an interesting word. It's a compound word. In the Greek, it's the word phronio. And the base of the word phronio is the word friend, F-R-E-N, not friend, F-R-E-N. And that word refers to the midriff of a human being, this part of the body here, which the Greeks believed was the seat of our emotions, our affections, our love, and our wills. Just right here, the affinity that we have towards things. And so, be of the same agreeable affinity. Is this helping you? The whole sympathetic sense of being like-minded, that we wish to come into agreement with each other. Now, the frem, F-R-E-N, from which we get phronio, is kind of like a framework because my shoulders, my arms, my hips, and my legs all hang off of it. If you take this part out, there's nothing for the arms or the legs to connect with. It's kind of like a structure, a mind structure that holds together a lot of other parts. So if we have the same mind, phronio, towards each other, to accept each other, to believe in each other, to receive into our lives, we're going to find a release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit within the congregation. This affinity here within us is an interdependence towards each other. That's what it says in the Greek. Do we have a feeling of interdependence, codependent? That's a negative term in society, but in reality, in the body of Christ, we are codependent upon Christ and upon each other to work together to build the body of Christ and to advance the kingdom of God. So where are we going to go with this morning? We need some time to pray about recognizing the deeper thoughts, feelings of rejection that might be at the root of driving our behavior and all other forms of looking for approval. Fear of being rejected by men can shut us down as well and hold within us the wonderful truths, the anointings, the gifts of God. We don't want that to happen. We want everybody freed. So let's take a few minutes just to be quiet before the Lord. And then we're going to let each of us pray with each of us. Because those of us who would like to have some prayer over this want you to lift your hand. And those of us who are catching it and feel like we're going to be okay, maybe you could go to that person, begin to minister to them, and help them get free using this truth, okay? Because this is something we all need. Would you agree? Amen. So I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you for opening truth up to us. We thank you for sending Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Guide, teaching us all things. We appeal to you, Holy Spirit, to help us right now. All of us can use some healing in the area of being rejected. And all of us want to know how it is that we can receive each other more freely, more openly, more willingly, so that we become a people of like-mindedness. Like-mindedness. This does not destroy our individuality. It doesn't destroy our freedom of thought nor our creativity. It simply heals us when we learn to be like-minded towards receiving one another as a gift of God without discrimination. We ask your help in this, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us and give those of us who minister this morning to each other anointing, truth, in order that we might help a brother or sister come freer. And all of us, God, we appeal to you to help our thinking towards each other be changed so that we learn to receive one another, even as Christ has received us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the Holy Spirit leads you, do what he shows you to do. He may show you how to go to somebody. He may show you that you need prayer. You lift your hand and somebody will come and pray with you. But today is a good day. Today is a day you're going to have some freedom in your life. You're going to get freed from the need for approval. You're going to get freed from the fears of rejection. You're going to find new hope in being accepted in the Beloved and being accepted by the Beloved in the body of Christ. Amen.